Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome to a special episode of The Emma Gunn Show. From time to time, I'm going to publish episodes where I dig a little deeper into a specific topic. In order to do this, I will sometimes be working with brands to bring you, my wonderful listeners, a robust and complete show. This episode is brought to you by Johnson & Johnson Limited and Aveeno and was recorded live at the British Association of Dermatologists Conference in Edinburgh in July 2018. The Aveeno team invited me to join them at the British Association of Dermatologists Conference in Edinburgh recently, and it was an excellent opportunity to find out what's new in skincare and treating skin issues, as well as a great chance to sit down with Rebecca Bennett, Johnson & Johnson's professional relations manager and skincare expert, to quiz her about the differences between dry skin, very dry skin, eczema-prone skin, the causes of eczema, the emotional impact and distress it can cause, and how Aveeno can help tackle dry skin. I'm delighted to be joined by Rebecca Bennett. Hello.
Hello. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, this is my thing. I love speaking to people who know their stuff. And we are going to be talking to you about some pretty, intense skincare issues, but I think things that people really need some clear answers to. And I feel very happy about you being the person that I'm speaking to, Rebecca.
Well, I'll certainly try and help.
Now, we are recording this live from BAD, which is the British Association of Dermatologists Conference, or BAD, as the cool derms call it, how would you describe BAD, first of all? Because we're here with Johnson & Johnson in your role as the Professional Relations Manager and Skincare Expert.
The BAD, British Association of Dermatologists annual conference, takes place annually, fairly obviously. And this year it's here in Edinburgh. And it's where around 90% of UK dermatologists join together to listen to sessions, to view posters of latest clinical trials, and to speak to the industry about the latest products and help that they can give to their patients.
Right. So I want to talk to you specifically in this episode about dry skin, very dry skin, and eczema. And this is after I put a post in the Emma Gunn Show Forum Facebook group asking what kind of concerns people had, whether they were suffering with their confidence, what the emotional impacts were. And what I think is brilliant is that you are going to, because I know that you have the answers to this, really break down what the differences are between dry skin, very dry skin, and eczema. And listeners, I know if you listen to this show regularly, you will know that you will know people like Nadine Baggett, you will know people like Caroline Hirons and Claire Coleman. Rebecca knows all of these people and has spoken to all of these people at length about skin issues, etc. So you really are the person who knows their stuff.
I also spend a lot of my time talking to dermatologists and related health professionals in the area of skin, and not only talking to them, but listening to them as well. I've been lucky enough in my career to attend conferences overseas, regional and global conferences, and really listen to the key opinion leaders in skincare and dermatology and skin conditions to make sure that I can give the best advice I'm able to give. I would say at this point, I'm not a healthcare professional. Mm-hmm. So if you have any concerns about a skin condition or a skin issue, then always see a healthcare professional. But obviously, I'm happy to give all the advice I can at this podcast.
Okay, so what I think I really would love to just get cleared up is, what is the difference between dry skin, very dry skin, and eczema? Because knowledge is power. And once you know what you're dealing with, you're able to make progress in treating whatever might be your issue. So dry skin, what characterizes dry skin?
Dry skin, or if you like, sort of like normal to dry skin, can often be a temporary measure. Skin that's usually fairly well behaved, but because of a change in environment, such as starting a new job or going on holiday, or doing a lot of swimming, or a change of habit, or a change of skincare can appear dry. And dryness to me is a sensation of tightness. The skin is flaky. It may shed off in small scales. You know, that sort of leg dandruff we all get when we take our black tights.
Leg dandruff.
When we take our tights off at the end of the winter.
Yeah.
That type of flakiness and dryness, it's irritating. It's a bit unsightly. And of course, at this time of the year, everyone wants to get their skin out and all look as glowing and as radiant as possible in this beautiful weather.
We are recording this, although this will be available forever and ever and ever. We are recording this in the middle of an uncharacteristically hot heat wave in the UK.
In Scotland, especially.
Yes, yeah.
So we all want our skin to look great. And that dry, ashy look, the light doesn't bounce off the skin. The skin more absorbs the light. And so it doesn't look great. It feels a bit tight. Mm. It can even start to feel a little bit sore and itchy. And that's what I would characterise as dry skin.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, sadly, as we age as well, our skin barrier gets thinner and is less able to hold on to moisture in the skin. And so as we age, our skin does tend to get drier as well. So it's a good idea to have a good moisturising skincare regimen in before that type of thing can happen.
So dry skin, is that something where if you are religious with your moisturiser and you do morning and evening for a sustained period, your dry skin might knock back into the normal zone?
Absolutely.
Okay.
You can treat it fairly easy, make it comfortable.
Okay.
Again.
So if you're going from winter or spring and now all of a sudden you want to wear a short skirt or shorts or expose your legs, for example, it's something that you can work towards quite quickly.
Yeah, I would say the best thing to do is to do it all winter as well, so you don't get that horror moment when you get your legs or your arms out. You know, if you just adopt a really nice to use, a pleasant to use skincare regimen, something that makes you feel good about yourself, applying a really nice moisturising lotion morning and night to help stave off dry skin can be beneficial not just for the skin but the psyche as well.
Oh, absolutely, the self-care element of applying body lotion
completely
is undeniable. So then you've got very dry skin.
Yes.
So what's the difference between dry and very dry skin?
I would classify very dry skin as the sort of dry skin that hangs around a bit more. Mm-hmm. It's not quite so easily dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
And it can start to feel sore.
Right.
And it can even start to itch, and you may get the occasional red patch as well. This type of dry skin may have more of a genetic link than an environmental link. We all know we lead very dehydrating lives at the moment with central heating and air conditioning, airplane travel, etc., etc. It's very, very dehydrating for the skin. But very dry skin may well have a genetic link as well. So if you look at your parents' skin or even your grandparents' skin, if their skin was dry or dryish, yours may well be too. And so this type of skin isn't necessarily as easily dealt with because the skin is more sensitive, the skin barrier is a bit more leaky, and so it can't hold on to moisture as well as a normal skin barrier can.
And we're talking about skin on the body, obviously, not skin on the face. But it's interesting when you say leaky skin barrier, because leaky makes me think wet. But obviously, that's the complete opposite. It's like leaky in this context is the moisture evaporating out of the skin.
Completely, yes. That's exactly what happens. I mean, you know, what we all want is a nice, strong, healthy skin barrier, which will keep the moisture in our bodies and stop potential allergens and bacteria penetrating through the skin. And so to maintain a healthy skin barrier, sometimes you just need a really good moisturiser. Sometimes you need a bit more of a moisturiser to do that, especially if your skin is very dry.
And then we have eczema. So what is eczema? What is the skin that affected by eczema characterised by?
Eczema is another step along the continuum, if you like. Eczema is characterised by inflammation. The word eczema actually means to boil. It's from the Greek word to boil. And I think that's really a great way of describing the sort of inflammation that you can get with eczema. This sensation of heat and redness and itchiness and soreness. It's a chronic condition, which means it's a long-term condition, and normally you're managing the condition rather than treating it. There's no magic bullet for eczema, I'm afraid. It's about managing the condition and making sure you're looking after your skin as best you can.
And talking about eczema specifically, because in the Facebook group, the vocabulary around it and how people feel and are affected by it, it goes a lot. Dare I say, it's not skin deep. It really can knock people for six in terms of confidence and how they feel.
Completely. If you think how visual a universe we're in at the moment, everyone's hyper concerned about the way they look, the image they're portraying and presenting. Anything that goes wrong with the skin can be deeply, deeply distressing. Nobody should feel bad if they feel bad about their skin. It's far more than skin deep. It can really affect the way you live your life. It can affect the type of job you do, the sort of places you go to, the relationships you have, the holidays you go on. Eczema sufferers, their skin can often be irritated by chlorine or sand or salt. So, you know, sort of beach holidays and swimming holidays may well be...
And heat, I'm guessing.
Yeah, absolutely. Some benefit with heat and some benefit with cold. Oh. Eczema is a really tricky disease to pin down and can be very personal to the sufferer.
Right. So I guess my question is, why and how does it start?
Eczema has a genetic component, and it's a part of a triad of diseases, three conditions, hay fever, asthma, and eczema, and they're all linked. So if you have one of these conditions in the family, you're more likely to suffer from one of the other conditions as well. We have the triad in our family, and I personally suffer from asthma and hay fever. I don't get eczema, but my son does get a little bit of eczema. So the conditions are conjoined. There's a genetic component in there as well.
Interesting.
But basically, the issue with eczema is that skin barrier that we were mentioning earlier is very leaky. It's very... It's not solid at all. It does allow a lot of moisture out, which leads to the dry skin, and it does allow the penetration of allergens. And people with eczema are often hypersensitive to the allergens that penetrate through the skin, leading to the development of flare, which is these ultra-itchy red sore patches.
And obviously, when your skin begins to itch, the last thing that you should do is scratch it, right?
Yes, definitely. I mean, it's impossible. How can you not scratch an itch? I mean, you know, itch, scratch... goes together. There's lots of great advice about how to manage things like itch and other side effects with eczema on patient help websites such as the National Eczema Society website, which is www.eczema.org. And they have hints and tips about dealing with things like itch and how to go on a holiday with eczema and manage your eczema on holiday too.
Obviously, the links will be in the show notes.
Thank you.
What are the treatments? What can you do if you have eczema, if you have dry skin, if you have very dry skin, and you want to tackle it? What are your options? Is it all topical?
With all the conditions, dry skin, very dry skin, and eczema, the best treatments are to moisturise, and then moisturise some more. The right moisturisers will help rebuild the skin barrier to allow it to rehydrate from underneath, so the skin will become more comfortable, it will become less dry, less tight, and even in eczematous conditions, by helping to repair that skin barrier, again, you can help the eczema not go into flare, not get that to that red, itchy phase, and keep the eczema at bay for longer. Sorry, it's not all topical. There are other drugs that you can take for severe eczema, but a lot of these are still in the developmental process. It's a great time for eczema. There's quite a focus on eczema because there are these new drugs coming in for severe sufferers.
There were people in the Facebook group who were saying that they have to deal with eczema in their children, and how do I deal with a flare-up? So even just to be able to say, you have to keep them moisturised, you have to keep their skin, try and rebuild that barrier, that's a...
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, eczema in children, I can't imagine there's anything more distressing than seeing your children itchy and hot and sore because of eczema. And of course, you want to do the best thing possible to help them. And again, I would say moisturise all the time, even when there's no sign of eczema, even if the skin doesn't even look dry. You could always sort of move into flare if you come across the right trigger, but by moisturising the skin and maintaining a healthy skin barrier, you can really help protect from flare.
And we've talked at great length about this in the past, but you obviously work with Johnson & Johnson, you have Aveeno, and they use the colloidal oats. And you've seen everything. I mean, you go to the BAD conference, you've seen every single topical solution, you've spoken to every single dermatologist, but you rate Aveeno really highly.
I do, and I'm not alone in rating Aveeno really highly as well. Mm. We get some great feedback from people who've used it for all levels of dry skin condition. The colloidal oatmeal has a long, long history in skin benefit, way, way back to Victorian times, believe it or not. And the benefits of the colloidal oatmeal, as science has caught up with stories, if you like, we're now able to see all the different components of the colloidal oatmeal, which can really help the skin, dry skin, to repair itself and maintain moisture levels in the skin. So colloidal oatmeal is a fantastic ingredient. And Aveeno, the brand, has been around since the 1940s, using all the benefits of colloidal oatmeal, the clinically proven benefits of colloidal oatmeal in clinically proven products. Mm. Johnson & Johnson is a pharmaceutical company, and we stand by everything we say about our products. Mm. And this is completely borne out by the wonderful testimonials we get from people who have used it.
Because I think when you think of oats, I don't think about moisture. I think of dry oats.
Yes.
So I don't immediately think, well, if I pulverize those, that's my skin sorted. But it's amazing how, like you say, there are not old wives' tales, but these old remedies and things are all harken back to using oats.
Absolutely. It comes up again and again. And as I say, we now know that there are special components within the colloidal oatmeal that can actually help reduce itch and redness and inflammation. And this specific component is unique to colloidal oatmeal. Mm. And of course, if you've got a hot, itchy, scratchy child, it's a great benefit to be able to put something on that's going to soothe the skin as well.
Yeah. So are we talking about what can the Aveeno products treat? Because there are two different types, aren't there?
There are two different types of Aveeno products. There's the Skin Relief range, mm-hmm. which is perfect for very dry, sensitized skin. Mm-hmm. So the skin that's moving into redness and soreness and itchiness, etc. Mm-hmm. And there's also the Daily Moisturizing range, which is perfect for dry skin as well, to maintain that level of healthy skin mm-hmm. that we all want.
Because I think what I really like about these products is I think when you have anything that you feel needs extra special attention. So the listeners know I have thinning hair, I have very fine hair. And one of the reasons I resisted using a specialist shampoo or a specialist treatment for a long time was because I didn't want to have to use something different. I wanted to be able to see an advert on the television, look at whoever was using it, who looked absolutely fabulous. And I wanted that. I wanted to buy that. But I needed something different. And what I think I like about Aveeno is that it's got all the wonderful benefits, but I'm still buying something quite luxurious and that's a pleasure to use.
Absolutely. It's lovely to use. And obviously in the industry I work mostly in, there's all sorts of different moisturisers and emollients out there.
Oh yeah, talk me through this because I love the breaking down of the different types of moisturisers, etc. I love the way you do it.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm going to interrupt her now. Listeners, she's got all the science and all the know-how, but she breaks it down in real vocab, which I really appreciate. Off you go.
Off I go. You can break moisturisers down into almost like three different categories. And what we call simple moisturisers are things like mm-hmm. the scientific name for them is occlusive moisturisers. Mm-hmm. So they occlude the surface of the skin and they just hold moisture in the skin. Well, I always think if your skin's a bit dry, there's not a lot of moisture in there to be held in. Mm-hmm. So you need something more mm-hmm. than a simple moisturiser than an occlusive moisturiser.
And what would the characteristics of an occlusive moisturiser be? Would they be very thick?
Yes, they'd be quite greasy
right.
and sticky.
Mm-hmm.
Ingredients like liquid paraffin mm-hmm. and petrolatum, etc. These are occlusive moisturisers. Mm-hmm. And if they're high up in the list of ingredients on your moisturiser, then you know it's a fairly occlusive product.
Is that the kind of thing that if you were to put it on your forearm, for example, mm. or rub it into your forearm and then run a tap over it, you'd see it almost look slightly waterproof?
Yes, okay. Exactly. And I mean, you know, they're of benefit. Mm-hmm. They're not necessarily the most pleasant to use, especially in this hot weather. They might make you feel a bit sticky. Mm-hmm. And as I say, you know, if you're dry, you haven't got a lot of moisture in there to be held in anyway.
Yeah.
And so then we can look at more sophisticated moisturisers. And sophisticated moisturisers will contain humectants as well. Mm-hmm. And humectants draw moisture from the atmosphere and from the lower levels of the skin into the upper levels of the skin where it's most needed. Mm-hmm. And humectant ingredients include things like glycerin, urea, sorbitol, etc. And so the higher up these ingredients are in your moisturiser, the more humectant, the more sophisticated your moisturiser is. Mm-hmm. There's a further class of moisturiser, which I like to call Sophisticated Plus, where you've got the sophisticated moisturiser with a high level of humectant ingredients, which are introducing moisture into the dry skin and adding extra ingredients which are of direct benefit to mm-hmm. the skin, such as colloidal oatmeal, such as Aveeno, which I would class as a Sophisticated Plus moisturiser, mm-hmm. because you've got high levels of humectant in there, but you've also got all the myriad benefits of colloidal oatmeal, which are really adding something to the moisturiser and adding something to its benefits for your skin.
Yeah, so it's kind of, yeah, like you say, Sophisticated Plus, it's drawing the moisture in, doing all the right things, but then it's also a delivery system for something.
Absolutely. It's holding the moisture in the skin. It's helping to repair the skin barrier. It's got these special compounds to help manage itch and mm-hmm. redness. And so it really is a multi-purpose dry skin product.
So the do's of dry skin, very dry skin, and eczema are moisturise, moisturise, moisturise.
Absolutely.
Is that the same with eczema? It's not counterintuitive, because I would, again, coming from a place of ignorance here, if my skin was bumpy and was flaring up, I wouldn't. My instinct is not to put anything on it, but that is me being wrong, I believe.
if you believe you have eczema, then you should go and see a healthcare professional mm-hmm. and get a diagnosis of eczema, so everybody knows what they're dealing with. Mm-hmm. And when eczema is in flare, a healthcare professional will often recommend or prescribe a steroid cream mm-hmm. to help manage that red itchiness, that would help damp down that inflammation. Mm-hmm. But as soon as the inflammation goes, and actually while you're using the steroid cream as well, you're always moisturising.
Right.
As someone who suffers from eczema, you just moisturise all the time.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What are the don'ts? What are the absolute do not do this if you have eczema?
Okay. There are different things that we can look at not doing, whatever level of dry skin we've got. If you've got eczema, I mean, obviously, it's fairly obvious to say avoid your triggers. And you will know what these triggers are. They might be heat, they might be cold, mm-hmm. they might be strawberries, they might be tomatoes. They might be a particular bath product or a particular lotion. They might be wearing woolen clothes. There are lots of different triggers. Pets.
Interestingly, you mentioned food, and that's come up a lot in the Facebook group. If you think food is a trigger, should you have a food intolerance test? Is that the only surefire way to find out, rather than just thinking, oh gosh, every time I eat potatoes, I flare up?
I think you would probably know right. if you flare with different foods.
Okay.
And I think it's probably easier to potentially exclude the food, as long as it's not an essential food group. Exclude the food for a short time and then reintroduce it and see if you flare.
Okay.
I think food intolerance tests have their benefit, but I wouldn't necessarily recommend them as a first line of diagnosis or treatment.
Okay, that's really interesting. Sorry, you were talking about the other don'ts.
yes, with eczema, yeah, avoid your triggers. We mentioned food, some pets, heat, cold, etc. But get to know your triggers, mm. get to know your eczema. Work with your body rather than against it to try and help manage your eczema symptoms mm. and moisturise, moisturise, moisturise.
And nothing, there's no quick fix, there's no magic bullet.
I'm afraid not. We all wish there were, although I'd probably be out of a job. but yes, it's about knowing your body, knowing your triggers, mm-hmm. knowing your condition. And almost, it sounds really simplistic to say, embracing your condition, but it's just a part of you,
yeah.
like your eyelashes, like your eyebrows, yeah. like your toenails, and just learn to manage it and live happily with it.
I remember being at school and there was a girl in my class who had really quite bad eczema and she had it on her hands. And as is the wont of young girls, she was savagely bullied about it. And I think one of the things that was levelled at her was the idea that she might be dirty or that it might be unhygienic or that it might be catching, which I remember even then thinking, gosh, that's quite horrible because no one would go near her. That's not the case, though, is it? Eczema is not caused by any kind of hygiene issue.
Absolutely not. In fact, the hygiene issue is a really interesting one because we know that the incidence of eczema has increased by 2 to 3 times in the past decades in industrialised countries. And there are lots of different theories as to why this might be. And one of them is the hygiene hypothesis that we're all too clean these days and we're not exposed enough to different pollens and bacteria and allergens, etc. So absolutely not. Eczema sufferers are completely not dirty. It's something within you, as I say, like the colour, like you inherit the colour of your hair or the colour of your eyes from your dad or your grandmother.
Yeah.
And I'm afraid eczema may well be one of the ones you inherited too.
Yes, but...
it's nothing you did. It's nobody's fault. It's just there.
Yes, but it can be managed.
It can be managed. It can be managed well. Look up some... hints and tips, as I say, on the National Eczema Society website. Mm-hmm. There's lots of information on the Aveeno website as well to help people manage their dry skin. There are some other tips, if not for eczema sufferers per se, but for people with dry skin and or very dry skin. And one of them is to avoid very hot baths and showers, because we know that one of the important components of the skin barrier, the cement, if you like, that holds the skin cells
together.
I knew
you were about to say cement. I love Rebecca's... do the description about the cement. I love this, the way you describe it, because it just makes it so clear.
The skin barrier, if you like, is like a brick wall where the skin cells are the bricks and the cement surrounding them hold the bricks together. And in dry skin conditions, this cement can be lacking or even missing. Mm-hmm. And so the skin, as I say, loses moisture more easily and is more prone to allergens. Mm. And this cement is actually water soluble at high temperature. So if you're taking long hot baths and long hot showers, and you're actually washing out this cement that's holding your skin barrier together.
Yeah.
And so although we know that a long hot bath with lots of candles and wine and everything is extremely good for the soul, it's not very good not very good for the skin.
Or a podcast.
I'll excuse you every... yeah, podcast, great idea. I'll excuse you every so often, but certainly not on a daily basis.
So I use, at the end of all of my showers, I blast the cold water on for about a minute.
Oh.
You would say that's
a bit... I would say you're mad.
So it wouldn't be a case of having to do that. I do that to stimulate my lymphatic drainage system.
Yes.
Thank you very much. And then vagus nerve. But, and also just because it wakes me up.
Mm.
But it's not about going freezing cold. It's just about taking that lovely warm hug of heat out of the shower.
Taking that. If you're red when you come out of the shower, then it's far too hot.
Mm. If the skin on your body feels tight when you come out of the shower, should you think, it's probably a little bit too warm?
Yes, and you're probably using the wrong wash product in the shower as well. Mm. It's especially if you've got very dry skin, and certainly if you've got eczema, look for moisturising body washes as well. Even if you've got dry skin, they can be very comforting and really help with the benefits that you're then putting on the skin with the moisturiser. So look for moisturising body washes. Aveeno have a number with the colloid oatmeal in.
Are there any... ingredients that you just absolutely should you be looking for foaming?
Bubbles aren't great if you've got dry skin. Bubbles usually mean, not comprehensively, but usually mean a fairly high level of detergent. Again, whilst you're washing off the skin oils that you may not want, you're also potentially washing out that cement again. So it's about protecting your skin barrier and using products that respect your skin.
Oh, I love that. Products that respect your skin. Good choices. And choices. And these are choices that are much easier to make than one might think, especially
absolutely.
On the high street.
Yes, absolutely. Large chemists and even large supermarkets, etc., have a great range of products suitable for dry and very dry skin. Mm-hmm. Obviously, if you have a diagnosis of eczema, you're discussing your emollient choices with your healthcare professional. But again, there are some great products, even for eczema sufferers, out on the shelves.
Thank you. I feel like I really understand the topic so much better than I did. Thank you so, so much.
Oh, you're really welcome. Do I have to stop now?
You can keep talking forever, Rebecca. I could quiz you for life. But what I really like, though, is the fact that it's completely normal. It can affect anybody. It's not something... obviously, it can affect people's confidence, but I like the fact that I feel it's been normalised. And I hope that anyone who's listening to this, who either has eczema or is coping with somebody you love who has eczema, I hope they feel comforted by the fact that when we put this out, or when I put this out in the Facebook group, so many people came back and said that they had issues with it. So no one's alone, and there are resources and products available, I think, which is fantastic to know.
Good. I hope we've helped.
Well, thank you for fitting me in at Bad. It's been a delight.